Last time we got together, we talked about forgetting those things that lay behind. It would say, right after the first of the year, thank God for seasons. As we've said before, thank God for the sun coming up in the morning. And sometimes thank God for the sun going down in the evening. Thank God that the sun goes down in the evening, but thank God that it comes up again. God provided the sun and the moon and the stars for times and for seasons. So we remember many times at the beginning of the year or beginning of a new season, the importance of looking to God. The importance of starting over again, just like we do on when the sun comes up in the morning. We can begin also at the beginning of the year, at the beginning of the month, at the beginning of a week, at the beginning of a new season. We always want to come to Jesus, come to the Father, and say. And when we say come to Jesus, you come to Jesus for salvation. You come to the Father for the rest of everything that you need. You come to the Father because Jesus isn't like your escape from the Father. Jesus is your escape to the Father. Amen? Who is looking for the Son? Who is looking for the prodigal? Who is looking for him every day? The Father. The Father was looking for that prodigal, the one who had run and the one who had tried everything out. The Father was looking. So I want you to always be conscious of the fact that the Father is the one who's looking for you. Maybe you kind of went off somewhere during the middle of the day and he's still looking for you, or the week or the month or the year. But always come back. Always make a time to come back. Always make a time to come into the presence of the Lord, to know and to acknowledge that, you know what? He's saved me. He's forgiven me. He's come into my heart. And he is actually daily transforming me and changing me because I want to come to him for that. I don't just get my marching orders when I start this Christian life. Amen? I get marching orders every day, all day. I get marching orders in the sense that I know whom I have believed and that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He is transforming me and changing me and leading me every day. He doesn't just say, okay, go out and do this. No, he goes with me. He goes with me. How many know every day you're walking with the Father? Every day he is walking with you. Amen? Every single day, every single moment, every single hour, he is walking with you. And that's why we talked about last time, said that forgetting those things that are behind because they're so easy to remember. Amen? A lot of times there's things that are behind are easiest to remember because, you know, you don't know what's going to happen coming ahead, but you can sure remember what had just happened. Whether somebody messed up, whether you messed up, whether somebody did something that was offensive or hurtful. Boy, we can just remember those things. But the Father says to remember only certain things, and we'll talk about that later today. But I want you to understand that daily, as we come to the presence of the Lord, forgetting those things that are behind and pressing forward to the mark of mark of the high calling of Jesus. Now that was out of Philippians chapter 3 that we began with, and again we talked about it because as the beginning of the year is a good time to refresh that. But actually, I hope you remembered this week. I hope you remembered this morning. Every day is new. Every day is new to give thanks and to follow the Lord. And what happens is, it's so easy. Anybody know this? It's so easy to just start your day and, you know, just move on and just move ahead. Amen? Because every day is pretty much the same for many of us. But to remember daily to thank the Father for his presence and thank him that he's leading me every single day. Amen? Now, sometimes if you're retired, maybe you'll, like Greg here, you know, brand new, freshly retired, trying to make that retirement thing work out. Have you already gotten to where you don't know how you ever worked? No. Not quite yet. Yeah, some of the folks have been retired. I don't know how I ever worked. I don't know, have I ever had time to work because I've got so much to do, it never gets done. If we look over at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17, Paul says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example." So it's a blessing that God has given us pastors, leaders, elders, deacons. How about just mature men and women of God, brothers and sisters, elders, those who are walking in the Lord whom God says, okay, follow that, look to that one, look to somebody who is following the Lord, and you have confidence by the Holy Spirit that this is somebody you can look to even ask a question. Hey, is something came up? I was, praying about this, and the Lord put you on my heart. Maybe I can come, and maybe you and I can have a meal together, have lunch together, and we can discuss those things. Is fellowship is critical to the body of Christ. Amen? You remember in the Psalms, it says how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. Part of that dwelling together in unity is having fellowship apart from this meeting. Amen? This meeting where y'all sit and somebody talks. But it's important to have fellowship with brothers and sisters. Maybe you're new in a community. Maybe you're new in an area or new to a fellowship. Seek out somebody who you can fellowship with. And then test that person according to the message that God has led you to here in the particular body, and have those discussions. Don't just talk about fishing. Talk about the Lord. Amen? It's important to come together and to discuss the things of the Lord, to iron sharpening iron, to let you transform yourself by bringing those things up and talking about what God's doing in your life. I mean, a lot of time what you're going to do is, see, a lot of people don't even like to talk about what's going on in their life. A lot of people like to just talk about fishing. It's easy. It's safe. They like to talk about, one thing or the other that has an interest to you. Some folks, they have some of the house churches that meet, in some places are only based on common interest. Now, that's good for a start, but you don't want this is a house church, we talk about fishing. No, you can talk about fishing for 10 minutes, but I don't know why I'm stuck on fishing today. I don't even fish. But what you're going to do is you want to come together, and you may come together as having common interest in one area. That may be fine. But what you want to do is begin to talk to somebody that you're comfortable with, that and that God has brought you to, so that you can hear the word of the Lord, and so that also you can grow in your ability to share the things of the Holy Spirit. All right? The church is not the church. The church has become going to church. That's not church. The church is two or three gathered together in my name. That's the church. Amen? Yes. The church is two or three gathered together in my name. It doesn't matter where it is. Could be at, could be at a restaurant, could be in somebody's living room, could be after work, It can be many different places, but that's the church. That's the church. It's not just a place where the synagogue is, where 10 people, you got to have 10 guys to meet just in order to have one. Jesus made it easy. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I'm there. Well, church means that's two. That means more than one. So if you can just have two people, that's church. So when you gather together, that's the assembled body. When we talk about church, the word ecclesia is the word that's translated church in the Scripture. Every time you see ecclesia, it's translated the word church in the English Bible. But that word is a Greek word which means the assembly. The gathering together. So when we're talking about gathering together of the church, the church has come to mean a building with people in it. When I was a kid, you did, here's the church, here's the steeple, open it up, see all the people. Well, I mean, what does that do? That trains kids that there's the church, and it's a building with people in it. So what's a church? Anybody? A building with people in it. With a steeple. Well, we got people, we don't have a steeple, so we're just messed up. But it's not the church. The church is you and me. The church is just me and Jeremy. You know, that's the church. Well, I mean, when me and Jeremy meet, it's just, that's where the church happens, because we're fellowshipping because of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. Amen? So, it's not that you don't know this. It's just good to remember. Again, Peter, I've talked about before. It's good to remember. It's good to remember these things. And until I'm dead, I'm going to, you know, keep talking about them, so that when I'm dead, you'll know about them. I'm just quoting the Bible. When I'm dead, you'll know about it. You'll continue to walk in it. It says, brethren, again in Philippians 3, verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me, this is Paul speaking, and mark them which so walk as you have us for an example. What does that mean? In other words, people who teach the same thing. People who have been under our ministry and who follow the same teaching and follow the same doctrine. Verse 18, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. In other words, people who say there's more than the cross needed, the cross of Jesus needed, or in so many instances, it was those who said, Jesus plus. You need Jesus plus the law, or Jesus plus this. Or some kind of behavior would mark you. Behavior is brought about by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Amen? I said behavior is brought about by the indwelling Holy Spirit, not by your effort to be a good person for Jesus. Amen? Amen. I'll just say amen for you. Yeah, how long we've been preaching this? 30 years. You know, same thing. Same thing every week. You know, people come in and look like, Brother Hagin used to say, it's like you say something over and over again, it's like people look at you like a cow looking at a new gate. Like, huh? Verse 18 again, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. So we have those who are also teaching the last portion of that scripture, who mind earthly things, whose eye is on earthly things. They say whose God is their belly, or their meaning not just food, but all fleshly appetites. In other words, their God is whatever it is that makes them feel good. I mean, you know. And so, with the power of the Holy Spirit transforming and changing you as you fellowship together with those of like faith, there are those also who have said that there is forgiveness, so just live however you feel. If you're walking in the presence of God, that's not going to happen. But if you're walking in a sense that says, hey, forgiven, let's go, you're no longer having a fellowship with brothers of like faith, neither are you having fellowship with the Lord. Because that is not going to, that activity will not take place. It's because the Holy Spirit indwells you. And the Holy Spirit moves and transforms you. And as you spend time in His presence, as you worship and give thanks to Him, He is transforming and changing you. If you see these things, then you begin to say, Father, what is happening here? I come to you so that you will take me and transform me into your image. Verse 20 says, for our conversation is in heaven. Our manner of living is in heaven. As those who have been born from above, that our manner of living, the word conversation in the King James, is encompassing your lifestyle. For the way what people see, what you see, and what people see as you are walking in the presence of the Lord, as you're walking throughout your daily life, is that your conversation is in heaven. You and I are ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. You and I are ambassadors. We are those who declare the kingdom of God to the world. We are not citizens of this land any longer, even though we have this part is pay your taxes. this part's still here, so it's gotta participate. But from the heart, you are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Everybody say, passed away. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. So if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Something that's just, I mean, that's an odd bird. That is something that has never been before. It is, you are a brand new creation created by God that has never existed before. This is brand new DNA. This is a, you talk about evolution, this is creation. Any man, if he's been in Christ, if he is in Christ, he is a new what? Creation. So you don't go through evolution as a believer. You are instantly transformed into a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen? So don't get the idea that, well, I got saved and now God's working on me to make me better. No, you have to start from the understanding that you are a brand new creation that was never, had never been before, and you are now starting from scratch, hearing and listening and walking according to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, you might have gotten saved and heard something else. Let's just back up a little bit and start from there. You know, you can start right there. Remember what we talked about starting every day new? Let's just wake up brand new today. I'm born from above. I'm a brand new creation. I'm not trying to get better. He has worked on the inside. He has transformed me into a new creation. So I'm brand new. Now, that brand new informs and speaks to the outside man and tells that outside man what to do and how to live and how to walk. Amen? Now, that's where the battle begins. Is that the old man goes, well, I'm not quite so sure. I want to accommodate that request. And you just tell him, no, you don't get to decide. You're dead. Well, I don't think I'm dead. Well, no, you are. And then you go read the scripture. Old things have passed away. That means he's dead. The old man is. So you can take him a scripture. Here, old man, here's a scripture for you. You're dead. Reckon yourselves, therefore, what we say earlier, reckon yourselves dead unto sin and alive unto God. So my conversation, my manner of living is in heaven. Don't look too close. But my manner of living is in heaven. My manner of living is in heaven. The lifestyle that I live is of heaven. I'm not trying to get better. Amen? You're not trying to get better, are you? You're not trying to get better. You're already born from above. You're already a new creation. Now you're just informing your body and your mind what the truth is and how things are going to be from now on. Amen? Because God's not looking at your sins. He's looking at the righteous individual. Now, what happens when you walk in sin? Of course, everybody knows that, you know, the law has defined what the consequences of sin are. Well, the fact is that those consequences in the law still exist. Like he said, don't step off the edge. Don't step past that rope at the Grand Canyon. You know, the one where right before you fall off the edge? And if you decide you're going to do that, then we know what happens next. The consequences for the law are still in place. I would just recommend, you know, don't touch that hot stove. You know, there's a reason you tell Jimmy don't touch that hot stove, isn't there? Huh? He said, don't touch that hot stove. Why? Ow! Well, there you have it. So the scripture says this is proper, this is correct, this is honorable. And so if we break that law, what happens is there is an outward consequence to it, but it has nothing to do with your salvation in Christ Jesus. Amen? Now, it can lead. That can lead somebody. Yeah, how many know sin could lead some people to a hardening? I mean, you get into sin, and you continue to sin, and you continue to ignore the voice of God. There is a time and a place at which you may have... The enemy loves to give you a choice to have you make a stupid decision. Some people would disagree. But if you are free to get in, you're free to get out. If you're free to get in, you're free to get out. And the enemy wants to bring you to a place where you will make a stupid decision. How many of you know young people who have been drawn in to a lifestyle which ends up in a stupid decision, which ends up in death? Or not even just a young person, maybe just an old person. You know, I always thought these shows, you know, these Chicago gangland, you know, where you got, you know, adult men. Yeah, I always thought this was just amazing to have, you know, organized crime. It was a business, you know, and you know, the Al Capone, the Untouchables, that kind of thing, and you know, based on reality, based on fact. That people would, that's their living. That's the living of people. To steal, kill, maim, you know. And these are adult human beings. You know, I mean, they have wives and kids. And so this is the lifestyle that they have chosen. And this is, in their mind, it's a legitimate lifestyle. Well, you may say, I don't do that. Well, what do you do? What do you allow? What do you allow? What do I allow? Amen? What do I allow? I'm not saying this has anything to do with the fact that Jesus loves you and he's mad. Jesus is not mad. The Father's not mad at those whom he has drawn into his body. I'm just giving you wisdom today. There's wisdom. Follow after the kingdom of heaven. Amen? Don't make room for sin. Amen? Like, you know I do, and I know we all do. But the issue is, let's encourage and build up one another. That's that second verse, is talk to people, talk to one another, fellowship one with another. Don't hide from each other. Amen? Let's be transparent. And just love the Lord and give an opportunity for our lives to be transparent. Amen? I mean, the Father loves me. I'm having a good time. I'm not afraid. Say, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Praise the Lord. It's good to not be afraid that God's mad at me or he's going to come out to get me. He's not. See, that's most of the church is, don't sin because God will be mad. That is not true. Do you hear that? Tape? CD? MP3? God's not mad at you. He's not. He likes me. He thinks I'm great. But he wants me to have everything that he opened the door for and that Jesus died for. Amen? Which is to walk and to declare and make known the heavenly kingdom for everyone, because most people don't even have a clue. I mean, people gave up on that back in the book of Judges. Remember what it said? Every man did what was right in his own eyes. You know, after a couple of weeks or after a couple of generations, that's what happens. See what happened this time? How many remember praying in school? I do. Some of you young people are going, well, that's illegal. I remember praying in school. Now, was it a prayer that said, by golly, in the name of Jesus? No, it wasn't that prayer. But it was acknowledging the existence and the lordship of the Almighty God. So every kid got that. Every kid got that until 1964. So the nation has dramatically changed because of what is publicly declared in a place of education, where ostensibly a place of education, supposed to be a place of education. Well, education without, Noah Webster said, education without the Bible is worthless. One of the founding fathers of this nation. Yeah, he was the dictionary guy. That's right. Who? Noah Webster? Yeah. He's the father of the American dictionary, of the American language dictionary, but also a leader in education. Without the Bible, there is no education. Because all of it, you have just left out the creation of the entire universe. All of a sudden you've got a globe here that just appeared out of nowhere, who knows when, and there is no foundation to that. Why am I here? Who am I? So we've left that out. So therefore, so education of the masses, of the mass of children, has been destroyed because they have no foundation for what they're being taught. Philippians chapter 3. We looked there in verses 18 and 19. He said, again, back up. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. The only thing that they look at is the earth. But our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, our mortal body, that it may be fashioned like to His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able to subdue all things to Himself. So He's got a glorified body. Jesus has a brand new body. They could see the hand, nail marks in His hands when He was risen from the dead. And then when He arose, and then when He ascended to heaven. That was that glorified body. He was the firstborn from the dead. The firstborn with a glorified body, the kind that you and I are going to get. If you want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you can find out about that. Let's look at chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for. This is Paul, but this is also the Lord Jesus. My brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. So stand in this way, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. He's basically encouraging some folks who may have been at odds to reconcile. Going my way, in my estimation. I'm looking at it and complaining. It didn't quite go the way I had planned. So I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to bust the door down, but I am just going to voice my displeasure with this particular occurrence in this particular time. I hear amen. Lord, deliver me from that. No, really, deliver me from that. It's not like delivering me from that piece of pie. What do you call that when you do something you want because you feel like you deserve it and you've been otherwise justification. There you go. I'm justified in eating that piece of pie, or I deserve that. You know, it's kind of like I deserve to voice my displeasure with this particular event that just made me unhappy. Amen? So I'm not saying I'm not. I'm just saying this is the verse. This is like verse 17 and 18. It's like when we're together talking, let's encourage. Me and Jason, we're going to encourage each other to avoid that. So let's just, can we do, we'll just agree we'll avoid that. Not that God will like us any better, but we're sure going to be more blessed, and everybody around us is going to be more blessed if we avoid that temptation to just voice our displeasure because we feel it is our right, in fact, my duty, to voice my complaint at you. Or just sometimes we don't do it at people, we just do it in the air. Amen? And your family is the only ones around who hear you. You know, it's like you usually wouldn't do that at church, but you might do it around your group, your family. You would just, you know, just blah, blah, blah. Have I gone to meddling? Amen. So what I'm saying, I'm just preaching to myself now, see, is that, so we want to come together and say, you know, I'm not going to, thank God, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to take that piece of pie. I'm not going to eat that piece of pie because it'd be best if I didn't. I'm not going to make that complaint and voice that complaint because because I'm going to walk in love toward the folks. It may not even be against somebody in your presence. But it's just not joy. Let's get back to the scripture. Rejoice in the Lord when it's convenient. Rejoice in the Lord when it's convenient. How about rejoice in the Lord always? And by the way, did I say it? And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. I mean, we could try to define that in 15 other ways, and I'll just say, let's take that one as it stands. Let's just take that one in the King James. We could do 5 sermons on 5 different translations of that word. 5 different English translations of, what did the Greek word mean when it said that? How about just let your moderation be known to all men? You're not wild. You're not, you know, somebody looks at you and goes, wow, they're just over the top. That is, don't be over the top. Let's just worship the Lord. Let's just walk in love. Let's just rejoice together. Amen? Let your moderation be what people see, not your outlandish exuberance. Amen? I mean, you've run into that. I've run into that. You know, maybe I'm that way from time to time. I highly doubt it. But it's just people who just get just a little wild. Anybody ever look at Facebook? You think some people think that nobody actually reads that stuff? It's like, dear me, you know. Put that stuff out there. It's like, I mean, it's vociferous. Harsh. Amen? Let your moderation be in, because your testimony is love. Amen? Is that your testimony? Amen. Let your moderation be the evidence that is to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful, full of care, full of anxiety, worry for nothing. Or, don't worry. Anybody worried? Somebody worried about Donald Trump? Somebody worried about Iran? Somebody worried about World War III? Somebody worried about the book of Revelation? Oh, Pastor Jim's teaching on Revelation, dear Lord! No. Worry about nothing. The Lord keeps me. I'm in His hand. We were praying with Karen yesterday, the gal we prayed for this morning. And I mean, just the anxiety that comes with an injury. Amen? You've been there. And there's an anxiety that comes with injury or trauma. And so, but you have been taught by the Word of God and by the indwelling Holy Spirit, that anxiety doesn't belong to you. You are not, he says, be anxious for nothing. What that is talking about is don't let that anxiety overtake and rule you. Amen? Don't let that anxiety overtake and rule you, whether it has to do with family members, personal, and this is not a rebuke, this is just a recommendation. Is that don't let, it's not like you can't, ooh, ow, you know, you cut your finger, you cut your leg, you know. Is it, don't let that stress you out. Immediately begin to follow and thank God for His deliverance. Don't allow the trauma of this world to be your downfall, because it can be. I mean, it can lead you into all kinds of activity or all kinds of resolutions that are not from the Father, not from God. So what you want to begin to do is when trauma comes, and you get ready for this ahead of time. You get ready for these things ahead of time. Anything in this world you get ready for ahead of time. Anybody, you kind of get ready to for any occurrence. And you get ready for, and this happens more as you get older, you know, sometimes a young person, they're just going to act on the spur of the moment. Well, you know, I wasn't expecting that, and so they don't know what to do next. And some folks just go crazy when things go wrong. But as a believer, what you have determined to do is to worship and to give thanks to God and know that whenever there is something that might arise, that He is constantly with me and He will take over and He will care for it, even though I don't see the solution happening at the moment. Amen? Even though I don't see the solution happening in the moment, I know whom I have believed, and that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him until the day of His returning. Though no matter what goes wrong, no matter what happens, He's got me covered. I don't know what He's going to do to fix it. Like, you know, Karen did not know what He was going to do to fix it, and it didn't look like it was being fixed real immediately. But we continue to rejoice. First thing I told her is to rejoice. Begin to rejoice. What you do is you take your mind off of the outward thing and put it on your salvation. Is that Jesus Christ has already taken care of everything which concerns me. It says, Scripture says, He will perfect that which concerns me. That means anything. That means everything. No matter what is going on, I have confidence that God is going to take what is going on and He is going to work it for my blessing and my good. All things work together for... Can't hear you. I'll give you a microphone. One, two, three. Good. All things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. That's you and me. All those who are born from above. All things work together for good. I'll put a little parenthetical in there. It says, they can't not. It's impossible for anything to not work for good for me. Because I love God and I'm called according to His purpose. So I'm thanking Him. When trouble cometh, with my kids, with me, with tragedy in the natural, I am thanking Him. I go immediately to begin, Father, thank You. Thank You, thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your ministry. Thank You for that You love me. Thank You that You're working in me that which is well-pleasing in Your sight. Thank You that You love so-and-so, so-and-so. And Father, we're just rejoicing right now. Thank You for showing us what to do, for showing us what action to take. Sometimes you take actions that they're too quick. You shouldn't be taking some actions. Amen? Sometimes you shouldn't be. There's some things you jump into that you shouldn't jump. You know, somebody's going to come up with some kind of a thing to refute it. You know, but that's out of the flesh. Well, you know, sometimes you just gotta jump on something. Well, you'll know. But thank God that you're immediately beginning to know what's. You know that underlying your foundation is what God is provided. Amen. Anybody getting anything out of this? All right. So be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, lest your requests be made known to God. So don't be anxious. Begin to pray. Don't be anxious. Come into the presence of the Lord immediately when these things occur. And what happens? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You begin to transform. You begin to change. You begin to change. Your fears become confidence. Amen? Not confidence that you know what to do, but confidence that God is working in the circumstance. And finally, brethren, whatsoever thing, now listen, here's he's going to tell you how to think. Here's trouble, you got trouble, you got anxiety, you got potential things that are occurring that could draw you in to a fearful situation. Whether it's politics, whether it's trauma, sickness, families, crises. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So he tells you how to think. If there be any terror, if there be any bad news, if there be, don't meditate on negativity. Meditate on what God has already done. Now do that before you get there. It's kind of like take the CPR course before somebody has a heart attack. You know, I need to have a CPR course, you know, after it happened. No, you begin these things long ahead of time. You begin to rejoice always now. You don't try to swim when you get thrown in. You don't try to learn how to swim when you get thrown in the deep end like they did me. That was my swimming test. They threw you in the middle. They wadded you up and threw you in the deep end of the pool. Hopefully you learned something in the swimming course. Because it wasn't like, okay, swim out there and swim back. No, they created a crisis. They created a crisis to see if you can recover in the crisis. How many know you can recover in the crisis once you have begun to learn how to rejoice before the crisis? Amen? Or maybe you're just looking at a crisis out there somewhere, somebody else's crisis. Begin to rejoice with them. Begin to help them. Amen? So that's what you want to do. You want to already be ready for this. Think on these things. Think on these things. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Continue to think on these things. As we come into talking about Revelation and what's next, as Pastor Jim's talking about, think on these things. It's already in your favor. You already win. Oh, I don't know what's going to happen. What are those buzzing bees with 15 wings and sharp, you know, claws and, you know, those beasts with eyes and wings and, you know, what is all this? You know what? Doesn't matter. What matters is you're already got yours. You already got your ticket. You're already involved. You're on the winning side. And whatever's happening, he's just letting you know what's coming down the pike. He's not telling you, well, watch out. He's not telling you to watch out. You've already won. Amen? Hallelujah. So don't be afraid. Fear not. God says it every day. He says, fear not. He says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do them. And the God of peace will be with you. Well, I may ignore that stuff that Paul said. No, don't ignore it. Go ahead and follow through. Think on these things. Rejoice evermore. Now down below, it says, I rejoiced in verse 10. Rejoiced in the Lord greatly, thou that your last, your care of me has flourished again. They're taking care of him in the ministry. Wherein you were also careful, you were desirous to do, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want. Now, listen to this now, this here. For I have learned, everybody say, I have learned. In whatsoever state I am, there to be content. Verse 12 says, I know how. Everybody say, I know how. To be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed. Everybody say, I am instructed. Both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I had you say three things. I have learned. I know how, and I'm instructed. That's you. I've learned, I know how, and I'm instructed. That's how I walk in the kingdom of heaven. I've learned, I know how, and I've been instructed. He's in me to will and to do of His good pleasure. I'm rejoicing evermore. I'm not anxious. I think on those things which are pure, lovely, and of a good report. I pray if there's an issue and an incident, knowing that the Father is with me. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. My conversation is in heaven. Amen? That's where I live. I live in the embassy right here. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So I live in the embassy right here. I live in the embassy. I am from heaven, and I'm remaining here to do the work of the ministry. Amen? Pastors don't just do the work of the ministry. It's everybody. The pastors train everybody else for the work of the ministry, which they also do. But, all these gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, are for the edification and the building up of the saints for the work of the ministry. So everybody does the work of the ministry. What's the work of the ministry? Declaring to somebody else that Jesus is Lord and that they can come into the kingdom of heaven. Amen? Amen. Amen. If anybody needs to be born again today, it's real easy. You just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that Jesus Christ died for my sin and He rose again. And He paid for all of my sin. And I receive His sacrifice by faith. I am born again. I am born from heaven, born from above. And now, Holy Spirit, come and live on the inside of me and transform and teach me and change me. Cause me to walk in heaven. How many walk in heaven? Go ahead. Everybody should lift your hand. How many walk in heaven? It's not like you're something you're waiting to do. You're already there. If you're born again, you're walking in heaven. This is not like a test, All right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Homework. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Where's your pencil? 1 Thessalonians, or your phone. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 24. First verse says, rejoice evermore. Verse 16. Last verse says, faithful is He who called you, and it's a whole list of things. Faithful is He who called you, who also will do it. Faithful is He who called you, who also will do it. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Quench not the Spirit. Amen. That's your homework. Read it and meditate on it. Bring it back and talk about it. Meet up with somebody. Call somebody. Get some fellowship going. Somebody you can talk to about something other than fishing. Amen. David's got some fish if you want. Just go look at his fish. You can't fish in his pond. You just have to look at his fish. You still got fish? Okay. All right. God is good. Father, we just give you praise. Father, we magnify and exalt your name. We thank you for the word of God being imparted to us in a way that transforms us and changes us and causes us to walk in your spirit and walk in your way so that we're not afraid anymore. Lord, we thank you that we're not afraid for the things that are coming ahead. We're excited about them because what it means is we're going home. The bus is coming soon. And Father, we thank you right now that nothing's going to stop us. Father, we declare your goodness and your love to every person that we meet. And we thank you, Lord God, that our complaining is just something that we're saying, nah, Lord, keep me from that. So I can just begin to rejoice. Teach me how to rejoice when I wanted to complain. And we just give you praise and thank you that we walk in heaven. And we give you glory and praise and thanks in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord.